I invite you please turn God's word to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, we'll preach from this portion tonight, and we will commence our reading at verse 23. Proverbs 24, and commencing our reading at verse 23. Let's hear the word of the living God. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall a people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and though it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come, as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. And we'll look to the Lord now to give us help in the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. Let us again unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee, the righteous one. And Lord, we, as it were, rain kisses upon thee. We thank thee for thy word and thy truth. We rejoice, O God, that there is no error within it. Lord, thou hast not deceived us, but Lord, thou hast revealed to us what we really are like. We thank thee, O Father, that Lord, that thou hast not left us in the misery of our sin, but in showing us ourselves, Lord, in mercy and grace, thou hast showed us and presented to us and sent on to us the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one with whom we have to concur with one of old who said, I find no fault in this man. We thank thee for the words in Scripture. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And so we thank thee for a finished work. And all that is left for the preacher of the gospel is to proclaim it and to present it before men and women. And I ask, O Father, that thou would cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb and fill me full of the Holy Ghost, that I would preach the gospel in a way, O Father, that men and women can understand. We think of the words of the man in college who said, don't try to be clever, just try to be clear. And I pray, Father, that you would help me to be clear and simple tonight. Help me to preach with power and yet with compassion and love within the very depths of my being. May I be all at it, body and soul, possessed and controlled by the Holy Ghost. Lord, prepare the hearts of those that will listen. We pray especially for those who are not saved. Those who are dead have not an ear to hear or an eye to see. We ask, O God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that thou would give them what they need, that they would be born again of the Spirit of God, that you would well up within their heart that desire to flee to Christ. Salvation is thy work. And so we pray and ask for thy blessing upon the gospel and for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Hear prayer, for we offer it in our Savior's precious, peerless, and high and holy name, and for his everlasting glory. Amen. Now, a few weeks ago, we visited the farmyard, and we thought about that cow that was lifted out of the dunghill. Well, tonight again, I want us all to go to the farm, for I've been directed to this portion in Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. Spurgeon said that all the world is fed from the produce of the farm. And so may all men's minds find spiritual food in the contemplation of the ways of God and nature. Before us again, we have an agricultural scene. I must confess, there's one thing I love to see when I'm driving about the country. It is to see men, or to be politically correct, women working the field. I love to see it. I love to see men clearing out ditches, or we might say shucks. I like to see them cutting down rushes and putting in drains, lifting stones and tidying up hedgerows, turning over the sod with the plow and sowing out the field, turning something which was once unproductive wasteland into something useful and fruitful. Well, this is not what we have here. In fact, it is the opposite that we have here. What once was a good field is now overgrown. It's become unproductive of that which was and is useful. Now, Solomon, no doubt, was at times glad to leave the high court and throw off his regal robes and put on his old clothes. Now, every one of us here have old clothes. They're clothes you don't mind getting dirty if they're ripped and torn. And I'm sure Solomon was no different, as he would put off his regal robes and go into the country just to get a breath of fresh air. Out into the calmness and the slow pace of country life, beholding the glory and the beauty of his God in creation. And as he was walking down a country lane one day, he went by a field that caught his attention. It made such an impression upon him that he had to turn aside and stop and take a look at this field. His eyes being enlightened by the Holy Ghost, he gleaned from that field not a crop of wheat or barley, but he reaped from that field some spiritual wisdom. And tonight I want us all to put on our spiritual wellies and go down that country road and stand with King Solomon and look over the wall into the farmer's field. Now, there's one thing about farmers. They're always interested in what their neighbors are doing. When are they cutting the silage? When are they sowing out the seed? When are they fixing up the fields? The farmers always like to know what the farmer beside them is doing. And so this evening we're going to stand in that country lane. And we're going to look over the hedge and we're going to gaze at the field that Solomon saw. And we're going to glean some spiritual lessons from it. Tonight I want to think about the field of the sluggard. And that scene that is set before us in verses 30 to 34, it is emblematic of the human heart. It is illustrative of the condition of the hearts of sinful men. Sinner, before us tonight, we have a picture of your heart found in the field. The first thing I want us to notice from this portion is the picture of the field. In verse 31, we have a description of the field that caught the eye of the king. Let's look at it together. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. There are two aspects that arrested the attention of King Solomon: boundless weeds and a broken wall. Now, this field had no Doc Star or Roundup or clinic added to it. Now, you might not know what that is if you're a townie, but Doc Star and Roundup and clinic is an agricultural herbicide, and it kills the bracken and the weeds in a field. But this field was left to overgrow, and it was filled with thorns and nettles. Now, isn't it interesting to note that this field It was not barren. It was not empty. And it was not bare. It produced something. Thorns and nettles. There is no man that goes out into his field to sow the seeds of weeds. You can see that. The weeds, they come forth naturally, and they do so in abundance. When a man goes into a field and you see him, and he maybe digs a drain, and he covers it in again, and the soil's there, and he sows out the grass seed, what do you always see in the field? You see his drain marked out with a big line of docking weeds. You see, the weeds come forth naturally from the heart. And from the heart of sinful man proceeds that which is natural to him. And what is naturally proceeding from the heart of a sinner? It's sin. See, it's quite evident no one needs to teach an individual to sin. We sit and we teach our children manners. For by nature they're greedy, they snatch, they throw fits and tempers. They don't want to share. And therefore we need to teach our children not how to sin, but how to be mannerly. Sin comes naturally forth from the heart. You see, the weed of sin's corruption is in the heart at birth. And as soon as that child comes forth to the daylight, it's as if the warmth of the sun stirs the seed of sin, and it bursts forth into life. So in the heart of every man, by the transgression of Adam and Eve, is a sinful nature. And from a sinful heart proceeds sin. The Savior taught this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. You'll know the verses, but if you want to turn, Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, we have the words of Jesus Christ, verse 20. And that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. See, this field had become all grown over with thorns and nettles. And there was a progressiveness and a pervasiveness in the spread of these weeds. Starting out only small. Just the bud, the tender shoot would spring forth from the grass. But soon, nothing but thorns and thistles. Small in its beginning, sin is like that. But it soon takes a stranglehold, and as the hymn writer said, slowly but wholly taking control. Has sin taken control of your heart and your life tonight? No, there are numerous accounts of how sinful habits and destroying addictions began out small. Just one drink. Just one smoke. Just one look at something unclean. Just one substitute swear word. Just one rejection of Christ and His gospel. Until your heart has become so infested and overgrown with sin that the good seed of the word finds it hard to penetrate through the tangled mass of years of indifferent sin. Your heart is overgrown tonight. Yes, there was boundless weeds in this field, but there was also a broken wall. No fruit. And also no fence. Yes, the wall had become broken down. In Psalm 80, we read about the effect of a broken down wall. It talks about the wild boar of the wood and the beast of the field coming in, devouring and destroying the vineyard and the field. The enemy was free to come in and plunder and wreak havoc upon anything that showed signs of fruitfulness. And the sinner's heart has no guard against the enemy. There is nothing there to restrain the baser impulses of his nature. Nothing is hindered from coming in or going out of an unfenced soul. And the scripture describes such a man as follows. He has no rule over his spirit. He has become like a city which hath broken down walls. I tell you tonight, sinner, you have nothing and no one to garrison your soul. The sentinel of the Holy Ghost is not there protecting your soul. And sin floods in and sin floods out of your heart. You are at the mercy of the enemy. You have nothing there to protect you. The lust of the flesh and of the mind just flood in and out of your soul. This is what Solomon sees. And he harvests from that field a picture of the unregenerate heart. And I wonder, does that describe you tonight, young person? Does that describe your heart overgrown, become a tangled mass of sin and iniquity? Your heart that ought to be a garden enclosed, bringing forth all manner of fruit and pleasing scents unto the Lord. And yet your heart, the field of your heart, has become overrun with sin. The picture of the field. But secondly, we see the perception of the farmer. See, not only did Solomon think upon the field, but he also thought about the farmer. And by looking at the field, he had a perception in his mind about the farmer that owned it. Look at verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The condition of the field revealed the character of the farmer. And the character of the farmer led to the condition of the field. Now, this is not the way that this field ought to have been. See, God had sovereignly given and appointed to every Israelite a portion of land. And every one of them was to be a landowner. And he was to possess his plot. He was to cultivate it. And he wasn't to let it lie waste. It was to bring forth fruit. After all, from that plot of land, that Israelite was to bring to the temple a tenth of his produce he was to bring as an offering to God. But this man, this Israelite man who was given a possession by God, had nothing to offer God but thorns and nettles. That's all he had. This was a precious possession in the hands of an unworthy proprietor. The old saying is, they're not making any more land. Typical of the farmer, the land comes up beside him. What's his attitude? Buy it. That's a precious possession. They're not making any more of it. And so God has given unto each and every man a precious possession. It is his soul. The riches of this world cannot be compared to the value of the soul. And yet, is your soul in the hands of an unworthy proprietor? You don't care for it. You don't tend for in it. It doesn't bring fruit unto God. See, if this land had been tended by the farmer, it would have brought forth fruit and then an income. God had in providence been gracious unto it. The rain had watered the soil and the sun had shone upon it. But this man refused to dig and to plant and to weed and to cultivate. This man alone was responsible for the condition of his field. And sinner, you alone are responsible for the condition of your heart. God in grace has been merciful to you. Every advantage had been given unto this man, and every advantage has been given unto you that sit in a gospel Bible preaching church. But he was slothful. And the Bible tells us he was void of understanding. If we could sum up his attitude in one word, it would be negligence. This man, we might say, did nothing wrong by doing something. Rather, his wrong was by doing nothing. It was the omission of cultivation that led to the ground becoming the way it was. This man, he kept putting off the matter. Look at verse 33. It says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Just 5 more minutes sleep. This man kept hitting for the snooze button. But we must do him justice. It was just a little sleep. It was just a little folding of his hands. Yes, this man, he intended to get into the field. He would get to the work at lunchtime. But lunchtime came and the sun would be high in the sky. It would be too warm. And he'd say to himself, well, I'll wait till the cool of the afternoon. But the afternoon would come and the evening shadows would lengthen. And he would say to himself, it's too late now. I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll get into the field tomorrow morning. Yes, his intentions were there. He wanted to rid the field of the thorns and the nettles and turn it into something productive, but he was self-indulgent in his laziness. His slothfulness made him senseless to what was encroaching upon him. He was void of understanding, and Spurgeon said he had no understanding to understand with. Sinner, you have not been enlightened by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible tells us that the natural man, he cannot discern the spiritual things of God. And you have no understanding to understand with, and you can't see that your negligence, your slothfulness has led to senselessness, and you can't see what's happening to you. And you're sitting there this evening and you don't know that this word is all about you. It speaks of you, this word. Just 5 minutes more in your sleep of death. You've all the right intentions to do something about your soul. In the early sunrise of your life, you intended to come to Christ. And that intention was still there in the midday of adulthood. But now the evening shadows are lengthening and you're old. Is the intention still there? Maybe you just sit in the slothfulness of your sin and you don't seek Christ. One man said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But another man took it further and he said that hell is full of good intentions. Young person, you're in the sunrise of your life. And I wonder, is the intention there in your heart to get the matter of your soul sorted tonight? Don't put it off. Don't say just 5 minutes more. Don't be negligent in the matter of your soul's salvation. For the word says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? God in providence has been good to your heart. He has watered it with the word of God and shined upon it and warmed it with the influence of the Holy Ghost. And yet you still linger in the sleep of your sin. Just a little longer. Just another night of sin. Preacher, just give me one more week and then I'll come to Christ. When I tell you there's a warning in thinking like that, there is a warning. And it's here in our text. And that brings me to my last point. We have thought about the picture of the field and the perception of the farmer, but finally I want to think about the poverty that follows. Look at verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Neglecting his God-given responsibility and duty, the inevitable happens to this farmer. Ruin comes to him and to his estate. Poverty and want are the two words that are used, and these words speak of this man's utter destitution. There's two illustrative pictures that are used to describe the calamity that comes upon this man. The first picture is that of a traveler. You see, poverty has been traveling along the road towards him like a highwayman who journeys along the road in one of two ways. Either swiftly and suddenly, as one that makes haste to his final destination, or else gradually and slowly, with silent steps. Whichever way, the traveler certainly comes. Poverty has been on the road for some time. But he does not come into view until he turns around the last bend, and it leaves the farmer no time to react. The opportunity for the harvest is past. The sowing, the growing, and the reaping season is over. Poverty comes and knocks at the man's door. With no preparation made or nothing laid up in store, death and destruction quickly follow on the heels of poverty. You know, death can come swiftly, or death can come gradually. But death will certainly come. And those who have neglected the matter of their heart, and whose soul is overrun with sin and the weeds of it, and have let season of opportunity pass by, they too will be brought to everlasting ruin. The second picture is of an armed enemy, a robber. A robber that comes irresistibly and unexpectedly upon the man. And he appears with great terror and great force. And the farmer can do absolutely nothing about it. It comes so swiftly, so suddenly, and so powerfully in upon him. This man's want, it becomes apparent all of a sudden. But there's nothing he can do to resist it. There's nothing he can do to stop it. It's too late. Desolation has come. The thief, he comes unannounced. Death sends out no appointment card. It is the last enemy. And it will come with such force to us all that there's not one of us that will have power in the day of death to resist it, nor is there no discharge in that war to avoid it. Death, a solemn subject. But those who die in poverty of soul, what a calamity. To have not prepared for death, even though opportunity had been afforded to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3, we read these words. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And then again, there again, we have a picture of a farmer. And what's he doing? He's standing there and he's waiting for perfect conditions. He's waiting for everything to be exactly right, to begin his sowing, to commence his reaping. Yes, he intends to get at the work. But he's waiting for the shower clouds to pass and the sun to shine. But the perfect conditions don't come. And he waits, and he waits, and he waits until it's too late. And the opportunity's passed him by. Sinner, don't let the opportunity pass you by tonight. Stop waiting for perfect conditions. Don't be saying to yourself, when I get this thing sorted, I've got this issue and I need to deal with it, and then I'll get right with God. The perfect season will not come. You need to get at it. You need to come to Christ now. Now is the accepted time. It is time to trust in the Lord. And you know, he will not come and renovate your heart. You know what he will do? He will give you a new heart. By the shedding of his precious blood, he has purchased, metaphorically speaking, the best land in the country. He will give to you a heart that has been cleansed of the weed of sin by his precious blood. He will give to you a heart that is full of rich, fertile soil, which is ready to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit as he gives you the new heart and he puts his Spirit within you. But here tonight we have the field of the sluggard. What does Solomon exhort? What he say to his own soul? Verse 32, we should take heed. See it. Consider it well. Look upon it. And receive instruction. Don't put off the matter of salvation. Don't put off the matter of tending to your heart. Listen to the words of this poem as I close. Maybe this speaks of you, young person up there. Older person down below, wherever you might be. Maybe this is something that you have been saying to yourself. Tomorrow he promised his conscience. Tomorrow I mean to believe. Tomorrow I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow the Savior receives. Tomorrow I'll conquer the habits that hold me from heaven away. And ever his conscience repeated one word and only one word, today. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Thus day after day it went on. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Till youth with its vision was gone. Till age and his passions had written the message of fate on his brow. And forth from the shadows came death with the pitiless syllable, now. What if death came upon you like a traveler down the road and rounded the corner tonight? Or if death came as that armed robber and he came and he broke in upon you and it's too late? It's too late. And we'll stand at your grave. And we'll know that in the grave was laid someone with a heart that was overrun with the weeds of sin. Awake. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ will give thee light. Don't be negligent. I feel like I want to hold you and plead with you and implore you to settle the matter tonight. And don't be the sluggard like the farmer that owned his field.